Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome to the Power Play Point Podcast. I am your host, the Blair Liner on Point.
Stop.
And I am speaking to you from deep within my crypt within the vaults in Transylvania.
God. Seriously, stop.
Stop what?
Stop. Just stop.
It is Halloween. God. I am Dracula.
But that's just it. It's not Halloween.
I am rocking the red blood.
No. No. Seriously. No. No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
Okay.
Although I would like to know if you're going to dress up on Thursday.
I don't know. I'm not going to have time.
Sure you will. When you have like you have a hot day.
I'll be working.
I know, but you get off and come home and put on a costume for the kids that are coming to the house for trick or treating.
If I had one, but haven't had time to get one.
You got to be creative. Would you like to know what I'm going to be?
Do I want to know?
What kind of, I would like, what do you think I'm going to be? Or like, if you were like, Anna, this is what I see you in for Halloween, Halloween costume. What is it? It's a guilt blushing.
I don't know.
It's not a mermaid.
Okay. Yeah. That would be too easy. That would be too easy. Tail.
Yeah, it is. I'm just kidding. I don't actually have a costume.
Okay. Okay.
I was wondering where it was going to go. Cause I've heard the, yes, when you're a teacher and it's like, oh, the slutty teacher. I'm like, really? So awkward. Like, I'd rather be like the slutty nurse or like, I don't know, like the slutty cop or something, but like the slutty teacher thing. And then like when you have to actually go to school the day after Halloween, you're like, oh, I feel really inappropriate. So,
everybody,
I don't know.
Awkward.
Yeah, totally awkward. Because they're like, oh, Mrs. Knox, what did you dress up as? Oh, well, it was half the amount of clothes I'm wearing right now.
let's discuss that in human development class. Yeah, that's
exactly. It's called family life education, Gil. Come on.
That too.
So, no, I'll be handing out. I'm looking forward to Halloween. It's my kids have bizarro costumes this year that are kind of freaky, but I look forward to
bizarro.
Yeah,
bizarro. Mean like the comic book character Bizarro. I can just see Hunter running around. Me Bizarro. Me not like Superman. Me destroy.
He that probably bizarro? Would, but no, actually Avery would probably do that. No, I meant just like Bizarro as, you know, just a descriptive word, not as an actual character. He has this like freaky mask thing that he's wearing. Thank God it's not the Scream one, because that's like overplayed and been there, done that.
A little.
Yeah, like, and then it's like, so 90s. Like, come on now. But my daughter has.
We had lots of that kind of stuff. Yeah, listen to us.
But my daughter has chosen to be a Black Plague doctor.
I don't want to know, and yet I wouldn't mind getting a picture.
It is a freaky ass costume. I'll say there's not a lot of whole lot. There are things that freak me out, but like when she came out in this, I was like, what the fuck? Okay. I definitely wasn't on the Amazon order for that one. And people knew who she was when we went to this event the other day. So I was like, yeah, proud mom moment that she is a Black Plague doctor. You have to look it up, because as soon as you see it, you'll be like, oh, what is that? So maybe I have to do like the sexy nurse or something, just to sort of offset the creepiness of what my kids are hearing.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it's well, that's right. You don't like scary things.
But I would like to. I'll shut up now.
See the costume.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
There you go. All right, I got it. My costume. Anyways, so yes, happy early Halloween. Go happy Sunday with this crazy weather, and I cannot wait to talk about Canadian road trip.
Halloween. Oh yes, yes, that too. It was another week of Caps hockey and all games on the road. I have to apologize to start off here. I wanted to see at least one full game. The games were just on so freaking late. I only got to see really one of them with any significance, and that was, of course, the Friday night game in Vancouver. The one in Edmonton, I really wanted to see, because I wanted to see how they would do hockey McJesus and Dreisaitl, but it just wasn't happening. So the recaps, unfortunately, aren't going to be much, except for the first and last games. First game, of course, was Chicago. I didn't properly introduce you for anyone who is new to the show. This young lady beside me doing the commentary is the mermaid from Centerville, Virginia. She is Anna Knox, of course.
Yes,
Anna,
hearty
hello up there to our listeners in the DMV, the state of Maryland, the Commonwealth of Virginia, and the District of Columbia, of course. And, of course, all
and
other places.
And don't forget Miss McKenna
globe.
in Scotland.
I was just getting to that. Overseas and all points around the globe. And our bonny listeners in Scotland, of course, that would include Ms. McKinnon. Thank you very much. All right. So what you just want to go ahead and get into it now that we've ruined ourselves with the Halloween plans?
Yes, let's get into it.
Okay, let's just go ahead and get into it. So it was so far four games, and it started with a game in Chicago against the Blackhawks, and it was actually the night that we recorded last week.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty good game. I didn't like how the third period turned out, and Caps folded out 5-3. But like I said, not a very good third period for the boys, because they seemed to go into collapse mode again. And part of me was like, oh God, no, not this again, not another bad third period where they just throw the game away.
I didn't think it was that bad, to be honest. Like if you're really looking at who came out on top in the third, it was, you know, you have your Ovechkins, you have Tommy, you have Eller, but you're also kind of going against a tough Blackhawks team that, you know, they know what they're doing. And so you have a Patrick Kane, you know, scoring, like you knew that was going to come at some point to tie it up. I think the Blackhawks make it an exciting game. I like the fact that there are not a ton of penalties when they play them, to be honest. Like I just have to say that, like, as much as I love to see Tommy, whomever, I don't know, it might be your boy crush that is dropping the gloves these days. But I liked this game, and I thought that they really redeemed themselves in the third period, to be honest. So not a whole lot of penalty, but when you're going up against players like Taze, you just have to be out there, and you have to remember it is 60 minutes of hockey. So they might end up let their guard down a little bit, but they redeemed themselves.
That's what I was worried about, because it was, again, another, you know, reminder that somehow this team forgets that it's a 60-minute game. And
true.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying.
Okay, All right. Well, let's briefly go over the vitals here. A frightening total here as far as shot differential. 44 shots for the home team, that being Chicago, not the Caps. 30 for the good guys. I say again, 44-30. So that's a 50% difference. Via frightening indeed. Face-off wins, the Caps absolutely sucked at the dot. 41% win percentage. The lone power play that the Caps got, they did manage to convert, thank goodness. That would be by reviewing the scoring. Not Tommy, not Eller. Believe that was Oshie. Of course, you could talk Tommy until the sun goes down and up and down and up and down and up and down again.
There's a "that's what she said" joke in there somewhere.
I'll leave you to that. But yes, it was Oshie with the opening goal that was the power play. His seventh at 9:25 in the first. David,
can we just stop? Let's just stop there for 1 second. Can we just applaud a 77 for just a couple of seconds? A little golf clap, a little
absolutely because anything for my number's sake.
That's true. This is like your Tommy. I just have to say, like, I don't know. Whenever I see 77 on the ice, I am so impressed and so, like, over the moon excited when he scores or, you know, whatever it is that he's doing out there. That is just like, look at you for all the shit that you've been through physically. You know, people were worried about, you know, kind of that mental haze of, you know, like, did he get hit too many times last season? Things like that. Like, how is he going to come back? And God, has he ever just come out this season and just absolutely kicked ass and way to go on TJ Oshie. So yeah, that's my teacher pet moment for a few and a big old golf clap for him.
Okay. Yeah, that'll work. That'll definitely work.
Yeah.
I approve. And yes, I agree wholeheartedly. And I don't think I need to put in my 2 cents because everything you just said, I agree with.
That's so rare.
Big, yeah. So back to the game. That's how the period ended. So we get into the second, and David Caligula pots his second. Okay, so his real name's Kajula, but yeah, I just thought it in there.
McGillicuddy, whatever you want to call him. It's all good.
Well, no, it reminded me of in college. There was a friend of mine who went to a Halloween party dressed as the Roman Emperor Caligula. So if you're curious, go ahead and Wikipedia that. The Roman Emperor, Emperor Caligula.
Who would know that?
I would.
Okay, no comment.
Okay.
Moving on to that second period.
Well, right. Continuing on, Dowd puts them back up with a shorthanded goal and brings them up 2-1, 9:53 in the second. Thus would end that period. And then 3:52 into the third, the captain scores his sixth with a wrister. And the way things were going, you thought it would probably light out by then. But oh no. Here comes Chicago back on the comeback trail. Dominik Kubalik, whose name you would hear so often. I thought this guy was so dominant in the third. I thought Joe Beninati, who kept calling out his name, I thought he was sitting at a bar because he kept saying, Kubalik, 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 Kubalik. That's all I heard, like, every other second. I thought maybe he was at a bar trying to order, like, a Cuba Libre or something.
Could have been.
Is what it sounded like to me. It's like, Joe, I didn't even know you drank.
Oh, okay.
He'll dress up in a shark's costume, but not...
Yeah, he will. He's adorable. Yeah, he will.
And he does it well.
Yes, he does.
So he makes it 3-2. Patrick Kane, of course. And he ties it. With a wrister of his own, his third of the year. And
okay, does he annoy you? Just curious.
Well, what annoyed me about this goal was the people were like, oh, Holpe let in another softie. Ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Kane is an all-world player.
Right.
okay, who has represented his country numerous times.
Right.
This isn't some schlub that's just throwing out.
This wasn't just a luck of the draw either.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like to watch the Blackhawks. Like, it's not a team that gets under my skin as much as, say, like the Predators or don't even get me started when we had played the Knights. Just because you got to have respect for him. He's a damn good player, him and Taze. But there was something about, like, when he tied it up, I was like, oh, damn it. Of course he did.
Yeah. Kind of like Malkin for the Penguin for you. You know, I'm cutting you off. I'm cutting you off here, but it's for a good reason.
Okay.
I think you know why. And because of what happens next, or what happened about a minute and a half later, a little longer.
Yes.
And a certain somebody came in and potted what turned out to be a wrister for what turned out to be the game-winning goal.
Yes.
I don't know. Who would that be?
Hi, Tommy.
Some guy who wore number 43.
And this was his third, and he's looked so damn good. Tommy is worthy of definitely more than a golf clap.
But
assisted by Haglund and Eller, which you just have to love that. You know, those guys are, there's just, I just fucking love this team. But I'm proud of him, you know, and he's, you know, his penalty minutes are minimal this so far. He's had a couple of moments, but it was a beautiful shot and game-winning goal. And I just, yeah.
What was most impressive was his timing.
True.
He knew exactly when to pounce. So I'm watching the replay here, and he parks himself at the side of the net.
Yep.
And kind of, you know, wiggles away from the defense. It was a backdoor play. Make of that what you will. And no, there's no "that's what she said" joke in there. That's what it's called,
so
a
is.
Backdoor play. Mm-hmm. Okay. That is literally the terminology. Get your mind out of the gutter, please.
Can't.
But, of course
you but can. I will. Of course I can. But I will say, in support of you and past podcast episodes, have always said that is exactly what you want Tommy to do, where you want him to be. And along with last episode, we talked about John Carlson. So you two totally different positions, but two players that you have wanted to see shoot more, you know, Tommy be in front of the goal and whatnot, and there he is. So look at you.
Yes, so exactly.
Coach
so,
Gill.
It makes the most logical sense. The guy's 6'4", 220. He's a big body. He's got decent hands.
Keep talking.
You know, let him park in front of the net and do some damage.
I couldn't agree. I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, you've been saying this for a while. Definitely last season you said it. I think the season before we were starting to see signs of it. Like, all right, this guy's got a shit ton of potential. And then, of course, same thing with Carlson. So, yeah, it was great to see him come in, you know, and put him in the lead with still, you know, about 8 minutes left of the third.
Definitely. It's a lot more time than that, I think. Yeah, it was at 11:47 in the third. There was plenty of time left after that. The Caps managed to keep them at bay for the rest of the game. And then Eller puts it away at 19:10 with a backhander into the empty net. And they skated away with the win. You know, but that guy Cuba Libre was scaring the crap out of me.
Yeah,
but he was running around the ice.
Well, and he's going to be another one that it's like you've got Kane, Taze, and now you got this guy. So
Yeah, he is.
So we're moving on to Calgary.
moving on to Calgary. I did not see a whole lot of this game, although I saw more than what I did the other two games. Just a brief rundown. A shot total was a lot closer, 35 for the Flames, 30 for the Caps. Faceoff percentage a lot closer. Power play, 1 for 4 Flames, 0 for 3 Caps. What are you going to do? Not much in the hitting department.
No. Well, definitely dominated by the Caps.
Well, I wouldn't even say dominated. It was 13-7 Caps. It's not like Calgary's one of these soft teams that, you know, couldn't hit water if they fell out of the boat. They do have some chippiness to them. Ask that guy Tkachuk what I'm talking about. I was a little surprised that the game kind of flowed better than that, as it were. But not much. Lot more offense. These teams both geared more towards the offensive side of things. Same score, same result, different venue. 5-3 Caps, and of course they exploded the second period again, as they have all year. In fact, heard that they have yet to fail to score in the second period all year this year so far. More on that later. Mm-hmm. So who gets the game winner? That would be
Ovechkin.
Oh, I don't know. No. No.
Oh, I'm looking at 3 stars. Sorry. John Carlson.
No.
Tommy.
Again, back to back game winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
12th. Gotta love him.
Yeah, 12th. Say that again.
Gotta love him.
You do. You just do. It's Tommy. And also assist with Kempney.
Who's looking better and better each game, by the way?
Yeah,
more on that in a second.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to talk about that. My ovaries are going to explode. but you know what I will say? This was a fantastic game for John Carlson.
And I can honestly say, ladies and gentlemen, that's what she said.
Exactly. They'll get it. Trust me.
Okay, so on to what I was considering the marquee game. I wish I could have DVR'd this because I really, really wanted to see it. I really wanted to see how, because this was off to a flying start. I wanted to see how the Caps, because this is a good measuring stick. I really wanted to see this game, but I've been worn out so badly. But suffice it to say, the Stars, like the moonlight, they came out to shine in this game. Scores for Edmonton. Darnell, Goodnight Nurse, opened the scoring. Then Jacob Vrana tied it. And then the Stars really took over. It's 2 by the captain, back-to-back in the second period. Second of which on a power play. And then Draisaitl, McDavid, and Draisaitl with the game winner in OT.
Boo-boo.
No shame in losing to a hot team, especially when you get the loser point.
Well, I think this was going to be the one that we were really going to be up against. This was going to be the 60 minutes of hockey that we wanted to see out of the Capitals going up against your Connor McDavid's. Was it there? Oh.
Well, see, and this is why I'm pissed at myself, because I don't have the benefit of seeing enough of the action to make my judgment of how that played out, because I can tell a lot from, the body language and how they play the puck and all that, and how they maintain their coverage and little things like that. I don't need binoculars when I'm in front of the TV.
But you probably do wear them at some point.
When I'm at the arena, yeah.
Okay. Well, I will say this is the game I saw a good portion of.
And the Edmonton game?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. And felt that second period just rocked. And there is something to be said about Jacob Vrana coming out and scoring to get his mindset going. Like, I mean, he's always like, you know, so focused and so intense and so great. And but I feel like when he does score, it just gets better and better and better, you know, kind of thing. And when he doesn't score, then there's this, the frustrations, and he's not a sloppy player, but I do feel like he kind of beats himself up a little bit. So for him to kick off the second period with scoring was exactly the mindset they needed to be in. And I thought they looked good. Like I enjoyed this game. I'm sorry I missed it. Well, I did not stay up for the overtime. Womp womp. But, you know, and then you have Ovechkin scoring twice within, like, you know, barely 8 minutes of it. You just can't go wrong with the captain. And I don't know what it is this year, but God damn, is he just awesome to watch again?
He's always been awesome to watch, but yeah, he's
but there's
like
something I can't put my finger on. Like I know I'll think of the word like after, you know, we hang out, I'll be like, oh yeah, this is the word. But there's something about him during this season that, like, you know, before it was like determination for the Stanley Cup, and then there was like leadership role and fatherhood and this, there's just something this year that is truly just awesome as a fan, as someone who appreciates sports, as, you know, regardless if you like hockey or not, to watch somebody like this out there on the ice and do what they love and be so fucking good at it, you know, that you're just like, how does he do this? And some, you know, it's just in that determination. So I don't, there's something about Ovechkin's season this year that just has me just kind of ear to ear grin. Like this, I couldn't, he's just so awesome to watch. So it was good to see back-to-back goals and of course Vrana. I mean, that's only a good thing when that kid scores, because it just kind of keeps him motivated. And unfortunately it didn't end in our favor, but it wasn't a terrible game.
No, I don't think it was, at least based on the score sheet anyway. And you hate to lose an OT, but yeah, you also, like you said, you like to see your leaders and your best players step up, and he obviously did. And I think probably the most impressive thing was that he scored two completely different ways.
Right.
His first goal, you know, he was at the barbershop, so he naturally gave tip. And his second goal was, of course, his classic and a milestone goal for him, actually, in that it was his 250th career power play goal, assisted by, I don't know, who?
Tell me. I know. Who could it be?
Like you, Tommy.
It is my Tommy.
You, Tommy.
And Vrana. It's like,
yes, but yeah, Vrana gets power so play like, time. How about both, that?
Yeah, it's both my boys.
So,
proud mom moment.
Yeah, that put them up 3-1, and then comes the dreaded third period.
Yeah,
where again, like I said, is Draisaitl and McDavid tying it up, and then Draisaitl winning it minute 18 into OT. Stop me if you've heard this before. Caps were outshot 40-28, even in the faceoff dot, even in hits. And this is clearly a case where the numbers don't really tell the whole story. So I feel kind of, you know, I feel like I'm stealing money here by talking about it, but I really wanted to see the game. Well, for sure, when Edmonton comes to town, and hopefully they're fully healthy, so it'll be a real test. Not that this wasn't, but I'm definitely going to make sure I catch that game.
Oh yeah, so. But again, it was another like Blackhawks game, not in the final result, obviously, but in the regards of fantastic players against each other, but also very minimal penalties. And for some reason, that just seems to be a big focus for me this year, because I feel like there were an awful lot of games last year that we were talking about, you know, come on, tripping, hooking, like players making stupid errors and you're, you know, and just doing stupid stuff to get into the penalty box, and then the Caps would be down and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I really felt like this is a game, this is a great team. Like, I, you know, you can't not have respect for the Connor McDavid's. But it was a good game to watch. I will say it was, you know, not nail biting, of course, but it was good. It was good. And I just like when they're not in the penalty box so much.
Yeah, no, true. And so, yeah, little things like that, if you take away, you know, that they stayed with it until the end.
Right.
They didn't completely give the game away, and they were a little bit more disciplined against what could turn out to be an elite team. So that in and of itself is good to see. Now, if you like that game, at least how it finished, maybe, then you weren't going to like how the next game started. And I was making damn sure I at least caught some of this game. This course, Friday night in Vancouver, pardon me, 10 o'clock start. And yeah, as it happened, I fell asleep not long after I was done with work. And when I woke up, it was about, I want to say about halfway through the first period. And, it was, I glanced at it and I saw the game was tied. It was a 2-1 Vancouver at that point. And I thought, okay, not so bad. And then first intermission, I kind of zoned out. I didn't really tune the game on. I had John Walton in the background, and then I saw it was 3-1, and then 4-1 as the second period started. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get something to eat, maybe something to drink that only an adult can stand, because I can't stand no more of this. It was 4-1 Vancouver, about halfway in the second. I was flipping back and forth between the Nats game and this. And, even though the Nats ended up losing, it was far more enjoyable to listen to that. And then next thing I know is 5-1 Vancouver. Like, yeah, I'm done. Because yeah. I really was done at that point. They were still in the second period. And I think, John Walton or Ken Sabourin had said something about, the Caps have scored in every second period this year. Looks like that's in jeopardy. And who scores with 0.3 of a second left in play? But Evgeny Kuznetsov is fifth, so that keeps that streak alive.
So awesome.
And makes it 5-2. And I thought, okay, well, this is nice. All right, so at least they won't really get blown out. It won't be a bad boat race where they lose by 5 goals or something like that. And so I get home, I turn on TV, and I'm going to commit to this. I'm wide awake. I'm half pissed off. I'm going to see this thing through, and I'm going to sit and watch it. Well, so the Caps take a penalty. Like, okay, oh, this is great. They're tired. It's back-to-back. And they got their penalty kill unit there again. Well, look what happens. Lars Eller gets his fourth, and it's a shorthanded goal. What's with all these shorthanded goals? I don't know who's energized the penalty kill this year, but give them a raise. That's like, what, the third or fourth one in the last three games?
And your boy Hathaway with the assist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finding Eller. Oh, and okay. And then who takes over the show?
Mm-hmm.
Not Tommy, but another one of your
Ovary explosions.
Drool factory. Yeah.
That, Michael Kent.
With his
number
second.
Six.
And he can I say this without getting in trouble? He was slapping the puck around like he owned it.
Yes.
Both of his goals. About 2 minutes apart, 2.5 minutes apart, both slappers, his second and third of the year.
But and again, not just because it's number six, but because it's number six, how much respect do you have towards Michael Kempe for what he did off season and
for his Oshie-like comeback?
Yeah. I mean, you just like really, I mean, you know, first game back and he scores, and now he's got back-to-back goals for the first time. Just so much respect, like just so much respect for the fact that he was injured and he was determined to come back.
Let me clarify something. He wasn't just injured.
Well, I don't want to talk about the injury because it's like a puke in my mouth.
I do because it merits repeating here, but the man had his hamstring muscle damn near ripped to shreds.
I know. Blah.
Yeah.
I can't. That's like, you know, when someone's like, I'm dislocating my shoulder. I'm like, blah. Nope. Good.
Very scary.
I don't want to see limbs like that. And as a teacher, don't ever, ever come up to me with a loose tooth because I will throw up in my mouth a little bit. And don't come up with me when you have to blow your nose. I will. Ugh.
Yeah.
So, yes. So we won't talk. I'm going to like lightly acknowledge the injury because I don't want to talk about what it entails, but how much respect I have for him as a player for coming back from such a heinous injury. So awesome and good for him. It's got to feel so good to come back and, you know, feel like, okay, I've been away from my boys, but now I'm back and hey, look at me. I've got 3 goals so far. And it feels amazing. So
character building third period for sure, because unfortunately the big boys were coming up drier than the desert because you didn't hear, except for what, with the possible exception of Kuznetsov, of course,
right,
who showed up and showed that he could give a pair. Yeah, let's put it that way. So Kempney ties it up and the Caps really took to the Canucks the rest of the game. I thought it was a good chance because they clearly had the momentum. I thought there was a good chance they were going to win it. Samsonov came up with a lot of key saves, so he deserves a lot of kudos as well. But unfortunately, they took it to OT. OT wasn't enough. And then comes, ladies and gentlemen, what is most definitely my least favorite part of NHL action. You talk about body parts, Anna.
Oh, yeah.
You name a body part of mine, and I would rather have nailed to the wall many times over than have to sit and watch a shootout.
Oh, it's quite a visual.
I would rather have my leg slit open with a red hot poker and have batteries dripped on it, then have to watch an NHL shootout.
You know what I find annoying is like when you have a hangnail and you think that you'd be like, oh, I'm just going to like take it off. And then it winds up going down like half your finger.
Okay. Now you're getting extreme here.
That would be crazy. And like if it ever touched any kind of salt water or anything. So
I would even rather experience that than experience a shootout.
Not that bad.
Yes, it is that bad.
Okay.
Anyway, so this thing goes through 1, 2, all three rounds, and Nick Backstrom wins it. So I hope everybody appreciated my post. So Mr. B comes through in the SO, so that makes him an SOB. No?
Yeah, only, yeah.
I got a double no from you and Mrs. Blue Liner.
Oh, high five, Jenny. High five.
Okay. Anyway, so he comes up with the wrister and gets it past Markstrom to win in the SO.
Yes.
I love Al Kokin's comment. In fact, I loved it so much I copied his Twitter post and posted it on our Facebook page. The Caps escape Vancouver anyway. And hopefully Canada's customs union won't confiscate their stealing 2 points.
No.
In the win. Yeah. Right. But they won't like it, but we will. So we'll take that any old day of the week.
Oh yeah.
So recapping brief before games played on this road trip, some of it on the other side of the border.
Nope.
Four games played, three wins, and one overtime loss. I'd say that's pretty damn good.
It was a damn good week.
3-1, yeah, I'll take that. I will take that.
Yeah, yes, he will.
I mean, there was some aspects of the game you could complain about, but yeah, you know what? All's good when it's this early in the season.
It is good, and you know what? And we can honestly say, walking away from these games, that both goalies looked hot. So enough. Like I'm over the Holtby, this, that. I don't want to hear about contracts.
I wasn't even.
I'm just saying, for the other people.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I wasn't even going to go there this week. But yeah, you people that want to perpetuate the so-called goalie controversy, yeah, I'm sorry. Rethink your thinking, please.
Right.
Okay. I
totally agreed.
Okay. All right. So that's the on ice action. So yeah, like we said, 3-1. Four games, and out of a possible 8 points, they get 7. Pretty damn good. Nothing to tease that.
Yes.
Now, so a quick preview of next week. Only 2 games. Mm-hmm. Caps get a well-deserved rest of 3 days, today being the middle of that. And then it's Tuesday, the 29th, that they are in Air Canada Center against a rematch with the Maple Leafs. Be interesting to watch. And then they come back home on the 1st of November against the Buffalo Sabres.
Yes.
7 o'clock puck prep. Awful. There.
Right.
And then the night we record for next week, it's a home game against the Flames. So unfortunately, we missed that. We'll have to cover that the week after. And then they're off for another 3 days, and then Panthers on the road and back home on a Saturday night at home against Vegas. Ugh. That's interesting enough. I think most would rather have a Saturday night in Vegas.
Oh, you're all full of the puns tonight, gal.
Yeah.
I'm trying. Apparently.
But, so that's previews of coming attractions over the course of the next week. Speaking of previews of coming attractions, Anna, what do you have going on? I know you are on the want to give our boys over at Sports OTHP, that Sports on the Hill podcast. What have you got going on counting them and other hijinks of yours over the next few days?
Okay, so, yes. Well, thank you for bringing that up. So every Monday, I have the incredible opportunity to record with Robbie Gross and Carol Porter III on Sports on the Hill podcast. They cover all DC sports. I'm just there for the hockey, but you know, I support like the Nats tonight, fingers crossed. So that's live, Facebook Live, and they're on True Radio Network. Which is great. So if you get a chance to call in or comment, I just call in live. So those guys are great and big supporters of our show. So we can't thank them enough. So they've been totally awesome. And one of these days, all four of us will meet in person. Be like, hey, name in the face. This is great. So the second thing I wanted to bring up, and Gil, thank you for letting me take this like minute or so of our podcast, because I know that you would support this also. A huge, huge Caps family member named Mitch Bates had a terrible, I don't even want to call it an accident, because it was so much more than that. I will just read to you what he put on his Facebook page for those of you who haven't heard. He says, for those of you who don't know, I was crushed by a very large tree yesterday. I broke both my ankles, both my legs, my pelvis, and I tore my bladder. I am currently in Inova Fairfax and will be for several days. I still have another surgery to go through. Now, this is back on October 13th. I read this a couple of times and thought, oh my God, you know, he's got a little baby. He's engaged. And how scary, but how grateful that he survived. He's been posting like, hey, this is what's going on. And, you know, the physical therapy has to go through. So then, of course, he gets the kick-ass visit from Wes Johnson, who there's not enough words to say how much we love this guy, who wanted to start a GoFundMe. And I just wanted to put it out there that if follow Mitch Bates, if you don't, on Facebook and his journey through what happened to him and physical therapy and, you know, the love for his family and recovery, but his love for the Caps and everything awesome. And that goddamn beard, like, come on now, like you, what he can do with it. You're just like, hey, that's a number eight. But I just wanted to share it. Great guy and definitely deserves some love from all of us. So I wanted to be sure the Power Play Point podcast, you know, was putting the good vibes out to Mitch in the hospital, although I think he might be at home, I'm hoping. And that GoFund, what do you call it? The page, however you want to call it, is accepting a ton of donations for him because he definitely deserves it.
And Anna, I really appreciate you putting that out there. And this guy, I've read some things about him, all good. I don't know of anybody that I know in the Caps fan community has a bad word to say about this guy. Not that there would be any bad words, but yeah, this is a very worthy cause. So if you got some spare change, do please contribute to it. I'm going to see to it that I get the link to the GoFundMe site and make sure that it gets posted in the show notes. So good on you, Anna, for bringing that up. So we'll do our small part to spread the word. And thanks also to Mr. Wes Johnson for making bringing this to light. A great guy, one of those great guys. We talked about a couple of them a few years ago that we lost. Well, this one, thank goodness, survived his ordeal and so could use a little bit of our help. So, as I like to say, this show is by Caps fans for Caps fans and is all about the Caps fan. So here's one in need. So folks, you can chip in, help this guy out. We'd really appreciate it. So thanks again, Anna, for bringing that up. Okay. absolutely. We are a family. We are a community. And we look out for each other. So that's okay. So thanks for that. All right. So I think with that, we are well done, like A1 steak. Mm-hmm. So before we wrap it up for good for another week, Anna, I'm going to give you a choice here. You know what's coming, but I'm going to give you a little choice. So trick or treat, pick one.
Oh, I definitely want the trick.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Unless it's an imitation.
No.
Or an impression.
No.
Okay.
Okay. So with that, this is the Blue Liner on Point. Signing off on behalf of Anna Knox the Mermaid and reminding you that when a skeleton goes to a bar, you know what he's going to order. A pitcher of beer and a mop.
God. I want the treat next time.
Hallelujah and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.